Congress isn't passing many bills, so it would seem unlikely that it could pass anything as controversial as opening the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to drilling. Still, two campaigns, Arctic Power and the Alaska Wilderness League, remain on the job in Washington, D.C. One has been fighting for 20 years to allow development, the other working just as long to ensure that day never comes. APRN's Liz Ruskin has the story.
These days, Arctic Power operates out of a hotel-like building in the fashionable Penn Quarter area of Washington, known for its proximity to galleries and restaurants. It's actually an apartment building. Campaign chief Adrian Herrera says Arctic Power recently emerged from warm shutdown status. For a few years, it had no real office.
The last Alaska State Legislature grant allowed us to lease this office and have a second employee. And so we have had this operation here for a year.
Herrera's own apartment is in the same building, so his commute is very short. Arctic Power was founded in 1992. Herrera says he understands Alaskans are frustrated Arctic Power's work isn't finished yet. Polls show Alaskans overwhelmingly favor oil drilling there, but that would take another act of Congress, and polls show most Americans hate the idea. So Arctic Power keeps trying, even now with the Senate and the White House in the hands of committed opponents of ANWR development and the nation awash in oil from North Dakota and Texas. Herrera says it's the central conundrum of ANWR. Alaskans believe in responsible oil extraction, while other Americans want this distant place locked up.
It's the difference between the people who live there, who find their living off the land, who eat and work on the land every single day, and a state that gets nearly its entire income from that land use, versus people who have never been there.
But Herrera says circumstances can shift suddenly in Washington, and Arctic Power needs to be ready. When gasoline prices climb, for instance, lawmakers are more inclined to open ANWR.
You don't give up. You can't afford to. I mean, that's our job to. So, yes, I mean, realistically speaking, if it came to the floor under current situations, well, it probably wouldn't even come to the floor. But is the debate still taking place in hearings? Absolutely. Are the public still listening? Absolutely.
Financially, Arctic Power has had fat years and lean years. Oil companies pulled out long ago, so the group's primary funder has been the state of Alaska, which has contributed $12 million over the years, sometimes a million or two a year, sometimes a tenth of that. Still, Herrera calls it a grassroots organization. About a mile away, just off the Capitol grounds, is the headquarters of Alaska Wilderness League, on the second floor of an unremarkable office block. Some 10 people work here, and 10 more in Alaska field offices. While Arctic Power's budget recently doubled to $300,000, Alaska Wilderness League has an annual budget of more than $3 million. It initially focused only on the Arctic Refuge, but has since expanded into other Alaska issues, including logging. Despite its healthy budget, Arctic campaign director Lydia Weiss says they don't lobby in fat cat style.
Well, I do not take members of Congress golfing. I don't buy them steak dinners. We do not have that sort of budget. That's not how it works. I pick up the phone and I ask for time to meet with staff people, and I sit down and I do it the old-fashioned way.
Alaska Wilderness League chooses the more evocative route. They always call it the Arctic Refuge and the Coastal Plain, never ANWR or 1002 area. They use beautiful photographs and deploy interns dressed in polar bear suits. Weiss makes no apologies for the bear costumes. At rallies and protests, everyone from tourists to members of Congress want to pose for photos with the bear. Weiss says the fursuits work as intended by drawing attention and, she says, reminding people what's at stake. Weiss, originally from New York State, also freely admits one of the worst accusations flung at her side. She's never been to this coastal plain she's devoting her career to.
It costs thousands of dollars for somebody to get into the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. If that's the threshold for being able to care about this place, that's a recipe for making sure that only the richest, most elite people in America are allowed to weigh in on it. I'm not one of those people. I never had any expectation of going to the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. But one of the things that makes me proudest as an American is our wilderness ethic.
Senators who champion their effort, Maria Cantwell of Washington and Mark Kirk of Illinois, recently introduced a bill that would declare the coastal plain of ANWR a wilderness area, forever off limits to oil development. It's a recurring favorite for environmentalists, but people on both sides of the issue say the same thing when asked about its chances of becoming law. It would be hard to get anything this controversial through Congress. In Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.